Hello everyone, and welcome to Digital Music Trends, episode 114, recorded between the 19th and the 23rd of December 2012. As you can gather from the background behind me, it's an end-of-the-year episode, and this week, rather than the usual roundup of news, I decided to call upon some of the music startups that I covered in the past 12 months and ask them to talk about their milestones for 2012 and their outlook for 2013. Amongst them are Next Big Sound, SoundCloud, Ditto Music, Qsongs, Mixcloud, and Spreaker, as well as possibly a couple of others that I'm going to add after I record this intro. I really hope you enjoy these short interviews. Check back on digitalmusictrends.com in the new year for more shows, and have a fantastic Christmas and a great start to 2013. Till next time. All right, so I'm here with Alex White from Next Big Sound. So Alex, hi, and thanks for joining us for this quick pre-holidays catch-up. How's it going?
It's going very well. Thanks for the call.
Well, I just wanted to ask you basically, you know, what are your milestones for the Next Big Sound in 2012? I know you've gone through a lot of changes, a lot of stuff that has happened this year. I was thinking whether you could point us out to like maybe two or three things that you think really stand out from this year that you're proud of as what you've achieved as a company, really.
Sure. Well, we started the year 2012 with an announcement of our $6.5 million Series A financing.
Yeah.
At the time, we were 9 people in Boulder, Colorado. So on the heels and the strength of that fundraise, moved the entire company to New York City, more than doubled the size of the team, renewed our two biggest contracts, including multi-year deals, and settled into our own office in New York City and completely relaunched the product that was redesigned from the ground up. So that's what's just busy.
More than amazing.
2012, and really excited about 2013.
Sure.
We've got the team and infrastructure in place, and great progress on the data science initiative. Great feedback and customer adoption in the marketplace. So 2013 will be a big year for us.
Absolutely. And in terms of the data science side, how are things progressing on that front? Do you find it it's getting easier to access the data? You know, are there more sources that you're incorporating into the structure of what you do that are helping you to define the graphs for the artists?
Yeah, we've started looking at besides recorded music sales and streams, looking at merchandise and concert ticket sales and other kind of revenue buckets for artists. And just hired another data scientist who has a PhD in physics and is applying a lot of the Bayesian modeling to the work that has already been started. So 2013 is about making product data science and sales all kind of sing together.
Of course. And how are you finding the balance between your big contracts that you have with majors, for example, and the use of the platform from smaller artists or independents that come on the platform to monitor their activity?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we've never been able to focus on both in parallel.
Yeah.
Finally, we have enough client services team members and product folks that we can develop and run both in parallel tracks. So certainly global major label deals while also ramping up self-serve individual artist band manager sign up. And the good thing is that a lot of times the product is or almost always identical in terms of the needs and bringing the power of the global major label head of marketing to every individual artist and vice versa, understanding how band managers think about measuring success and popularity and translating that into the product for the labels and other customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you feel like it's getting easier on the interface side? I haven't checked it out in a few months, but to actually give people an idea of what to make of the data that you provide. So creating a secondary step where you don't just provide the data, but you also provide with potentially action points or advice as to how they could work on certain angles based on the data that you provide.
Yeah, that's the relaunch of the site that I spoke about in September really simplified things in terms of focusing all accounts on a set of key performance indicators, so 4 KPIs. And just that alone, the reduction in complexity has made things a lot more useful in terms of, here's the numbers I should focus on, let me try to raise those. 2013, again, with the addition of data science and evolution of the product, will be much more about programmatic insights and recommendations for everyone. We're still not at where we're giving, you know, do this right now, click here, but that's what we're fighting towards.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for this update pre-holidays, and I hope you have a fantastic time. I hope you have some time off, actually.
Me too. Nice chatting with you. Good to see you.
It's great to have on the show Lee Parsons from the company Ditto Music. So hi, Lee. It's great to have you on. How's it going?
Hi, Andrew. I'm great. Thank you.
Okay. So we continue our series of five-minute catch-ups with digital music companies by talking about Ditto and what's happened in 2012, first of all. So how would you, you know, what would you say is the most interesting or important thing that's happened in 2012 for Ditto?
I guess for us, I mean, you know, on the grand, you know, grand scope of things, a lot of things have been happening around the industry, and obviously we've opened a lot of new stores to people, and and you know, distribution models keep going. But for us as a business, we've really been concentrating on the US office in 2012.
Yeah,
we came out here about 12 months ago, and it was just literally just one or two of us at the time from England.
Yeah,
and we had, I'd say we were probably about 30%. US at that point. I mean, a lot of our market's in Sweden, and obviously England's a big market. But yeah, we passed 1 million sales for our US artists.
Wow.
back in October, and now we're about 50% US, 50% Europe. We've got a nice office here. You know, lots of staff.
Yeah.
And you know, we're really busy, man. We've really been able to work with some great US artists, some great labels. And it's been awesome, you know, get involved in this kind of the market.
Absolutely. And how do you see the services that you provide sort of expanding from the traditional distribution model? Do you have any add-ons that you started providing to the bands and artists?
We've always said, really, you know, the distribution model is a great model that we, you know, when we started it, and you know, all the chart model, but we've really been working to provide more you know, promotional opportunities, really, because I mean, every artist that comes to our books wants promotion.
Of course,
we've got some showcases at South by Southwest this year. We're doing about 4 or 5 shows there. We'll be taking artists to.
Great.
We launched a dedicated urban section just for urban artists, and that's linked with MTV, the MOBO Awards. One of our artists actually won a MOBO, Mike Howe.
Wow!
And we've got a team there that just specialise in finding opportunities just for the urban market. And we kind of start. We want to do this with all markets, really. We started the urban market just because we had so many, you know, great ins with them.
Yeah.
But and that's what we've been kind of doing in America. We're starting some hours on a TV network out here for artists. We have like regular shows, you know, in Nashville and around the US. So
yeah,
we've kind of got the base level of the tech and the, you know, the distribution model. It's now about finding, you know, artists that are going to be big and, you know, helping them. Because obviously artists that we work with, like Ed Sheeran and Maverick Saber, obviously went out to do massive things.
Yeah.
So a lot of the artists we have through our books, you know, if we can kind of catch them early on, it'd be great to, you know, offer them some really tangible, you know, opportunities.
Of course, of course. And looking at sort of the evolution of the market this year and into next year, one of the things that, for example, iTunes has announced that, you know, they're launching in many, many more countries, for example. And, you know, there's Deezer has just announced releasing their app of as ad-supported yesterday into 150 different countries, which is huge news. So that really impacts your model as well and the way that you go about globalizing the business, right?
It does, and it doesn't. I mean, the thing people kind of forget is, I was in Brazil, I was saying to you earlier, about a few weeks ago, and we were looking into, you know, launching there, and the Brazilian government, like, took us out and showed us a few things. But what you usually find is, like, iTunes launched in Brazil, but the culture is still quite a long way off buying from iTunes. You know, just because they've kind of launched there doesn't mean everyone's going to, you know, suddenly start buying online, because they're so used to buying physical.
Yeah.
But there are bands, I mean, we have bands in most countries, you know, from Vietnam to everywhere now, that mostly are still looking to sell to the Western market. So we kind of concentrate more on, you know, helping those bands sell to the Western market than probably their own markets, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So it's more a case of those artists trying to reach a US and European audience rather than a US and European band trying to reach really far away random countries.
Yeah. You know, it's like if a US band wants to break Brazil, they have to go to Brazil, you know, for the most part, because got the same social media, you know, the social media structure and the same inroads that we have in the Western world. But if we can help a band from Brazil break into the American market, you know, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so do you think like expanding on the ground territorially is something that you might be looking to?
Well, we've got two more openings. I mean, we're in the middle of a VC at the moment. So we're just finalizing a funding round. We've been offered before, we always kind of turned it down. But from this point, we probably will do it. I mean, we've got two different territories we concentrate on in 2013, which is Sweden, which is our third biggest territory, and then Australia, which is our fourth biggest territory.
Yeah.
Now, Sweden, we've always had a lot of artists there because back in 2009, we had the Spotify contract. And, you know, they were so used to getting on Spotify and so ahead of the game with that.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of Australian artists, and Australia's really kind of coming around to the digital in the same way. It's a few years behind some traditional medias, but they've just kind of really started getting into the whole, you know, the bands have anyway, you know, self-releasing.
Sure, of course.
Which is a big one for us in 2013.
That's great. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on, and I'll really look forward to seeing what you guys are going to be up to in 2013. Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, you too, bro.
So I'm here with Dave Haynes from SoundCloud, and thanks, Dave, for joining me today.
Yeah, no problems.
Okay, so another one of these five-minute snippets, just talking about SoundCloud, what happened in 2012, just doing a bit of a recap on the company. And I know it's every year, it's just so much stuff happens, really, in startups especially. What are your highlights for 2012? Let's start with, for example, on the platform side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, 2012 was pretty epic. I mean, it was just when SoundCloud had such, like, big growth. And that was in terms of the platform. I mean, we had so many different apps integrating with SoundCloud. A big milestone was when Apple announced their integration of SoundCloud into GarageBand, for example. Which is just one of the many applications where people, like, just this huge wave of people creating music and needing to post that online. So yeah, that was kind of the pinnacle for us to be integrated in that, and hopefully more on that next year as well. I think in terms of some interesting users, I mean, we have so many people using SoundCloud, but my team is more focused on, you know, the bigger record labels and the artists and the people like that using the platform. Just trying to think of some of my favorites. Snoop Dogg was, I mean, he's always a good one. I think the thing that we really loved about the way Snoop was using the platform was it wasn't just him saying, oh, okay, I'm gonna, you know, promote my new track.
He was actually commenting on the track.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was actually really engaging in the community, and there was and they actually went out to film it, but he found a like, he did a collaboration with this singer songwriter in Poland, this 20 something or maybe even a teenage girl, and he went out and collaborated, and they made a film, and she was someone that he like plucked out from the SoundCloud community. So that was quite incredible. Some other success stories. I mean, one of my favorite albums of this year, that Alt J won the Mercury Music Prize. It was interesting to see the kind of rise of his or their career like over 2012.
Sure.
Actually posted demo tapes up on SoundCloud, you know, right at the beginning of that journey.
Sure.
So to see somebody go from that and really get up to you know, winning a Mercury Music Prize is really exciting.
Yeah, and they left the whole album for streaming on SoundCloud for the whole duration of the other release, which is awesome.
I think you know, if you look at other artists like The Size and, you know, Gangnam Styles and Kylie Rae Jepsen and things like that, you know, they got big on the internet, but in a slightly different way. So they were just all over, you know, all of those tracks were a massive kind of cultural memes, but they were very kind of gimmicky in their way.
Yeah.
And I think people point to the internet and say, well, that's how you become big on the internet. But looking at someone like Alt J, it's just through, if you've got great music, then the internet is an awesome way of making sure people listen to it. So you don't need to do the gimmicky thing. That's one route, but like, good music will always shine through, and I think the Alt J story is kind of testament to that. So,
and of course, the big news of SoundCloud was also the release of Next that happened this month publicly. But it was a long labor of love in terms of, like, you know, it was in beta for quite a long time. So how did you find that process? Just quickly, in terms of you know, how did you find the process of going from starting the beta to actually getting to the release?
Yeah, so that was a big project. That was really kind of stripping SoundCloud back to its core and then being able to kind of let it flourish again. So internally we had a lot of resources focused on that. We actually released the private beta of it back in May.
Yeah.
And at that point it it wasn't like we were saying it, we released it kind of almost uncomfortably early. But with a big project like that for SoundCloud, our kind of methodology is really to ship something first, so just get it out the door and then iterate and get feedback from the users. So we released it in May, slowly rolled it out to more and more of the community, getting feedback, tweaking it as we went. And we had the release at the web in December, finally, where we managed to get it shipped before the end of the year. And it's still that process. I mean, there's still things. There was a really big, obviously, with such an engaged community like SoundCloud, you've got some people very vocal about, oh, wow, they've changed this, or, oh, I don't like the new colours, or, you know, we've seen it with other platforms and things like Facebook, where, you know, it's a big change for some people, for something they use, they live and they breathe every day. So, but the great thing is with the platform, how it is, we can really iterate quickly and build new products on top of it. So, literally within 24, 48 hours, we'd kind of address some of the things that we heard from the feedback in the community. So, awesome. So that was really awesome. And then, at that same presentation at the web, we announced something. SoundCloud is grown to the point where our reach is 180 million users. So just the kind of the impact of SoundCloud, both as a site but also through our widgets and across the web and into all of these applications. So it's we've kind of slowly been weaving this sound layer across the web. So
and of course, looking at a platform like this, when it scales to this size, if you're looking at 2013, you can imagine the growth being even more exponential, because when you get to a certain point, when the platform takes off, the growth just becomes a lot faster, and you've probably seen that in the past year. So what are your thoughts about, the upcoming year in terms of both, the content side, which is your side, and also the platform itself?
Yeah. Well, I mean, SoundCloud's been so focused, like our mission has been to kind of provide creators with the best possible tools to share their sounds. And I mean, we've been very successful at that, I'd say, not being too modest, but very successful with that. I mean, we now have, it's like 10 hours of audio or 10 hours of sound being uploaded to the platform every minute. So obviously that's a huge variety of sound, both music and audio. And it's, I think the challenge for us is, for the creators, they really want those sounds. They want to be able to share those to their audiences, but they also want, someone like SoundCloud to help connect them to people who are going to be interested in those sounds. So I think there's still a bit more that we can do for the creators in terms of connecting the right people and building them audiences. And that's something, you'll notice on SoundCloud, we've, done things like improve the search and looking a bit more into kind of discovery and recommendation and things like that. I'm really excited by a new feature that we rolled out called Reposts, which is very similar to retweets on Twitter. And one thing we noticed, I mean, in amongst all of these sounds, you just find these things that become memes or they go viral. And it's going to be really interesting to see the kind of social interaction around these sounds as they get reposted and then passed over to platforms like Tumblr and Twitter and Facebook. So yes, very excited about that. Another area I think that's going to be big in 2013 is actually within my team, we now have three or four people just dedicated to our audio partners, not our music partners. People like the White House and Obama joining just after he was elected, which was a really big win for us. And then some really, I actually spend a lot of time now listening to speech when I'm, in my commute or, when I'm on a plane. So seeing some of my favorite podcasters come on board, like The Bugle, which is an amazing show. People like The Economist and The Guardian. Yeah. So, again, it's going to be really interesting to see how that side of things develop over 2013.
That's great. Well, thanks so much and have a great Christmas.
Thank you. And you.
Okay, so it's great to have Olivier de Simon from WebDoc here with us today. We're doing a big roundup of digital music startups and hearing how their 2012 went and talk about 2013. So hi, Olivier, and thanks for joining me today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about 2012 first. WebDoc had a lot to do in 2012. You've really only just launched at the end of 2011. Is that right?
Yeah, we launched back in December, so it's 1 year now.
Exactly. So tell me about how your year went. Like, what were the milestones for you for the service? If you have like two or three important moments, whether there were campaigns or awards or anything that happened that you think was important for the service.
Sure. Well, it's been really like an amazing year, and we started like I like to say, like, it's been a long week that started the 1st of January. I can't remember one moment where we had time to breathe, but it started really well with Midem, obviously. We were involved in the Midem Lab, and we won the special prize from Vivendi. And obviously that has been like driving a lot of attention on WebDoc.
Of course.
And Midem is really this event where, you know, you can feel the pulse for the rest of the year. And it was really interesting for us to be there and to get such a great welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of how the service has developed in the last year, you know, of course, you only launched in December, so last December. So it's been a year of interesting discoveries. And you started with a huge focus on music. What would you say was the first campaign where you realized you were onto something in terms of, you know, the size and the response on that?
I think like the reason we decided to focus so much into music was that like if you look at the different networks today, like Twitter, Facebook, etc., it's really like artists that have amazing like audiences and driving enough like emotions to really get this traction. So for us, it was really like a strategic move to get into music and maybe like the first like. Big success we got, like where like we got a band really embracing like the platform and really understanding that there was a new way to engage with the fans was definitely One Direction.
Yeah.
And like if you think about 1 year ago, it was still a band coming from like X Factor, obviously big into the UK.
Yeah.
But all the things that happened this year in the US and the rest of the world and talking also about the Olympics,
of course,
was still like something that no one could accept. So
yeah.
So yeah, 1D has been like definitely like a big play for us.
Absolutely. And in terms of how you're moving on from 2012 to 2013, you started to diversify a little bit from music into fashion as well, from what I know. And what is your take on what's coming in 2013? What are you excited about for the platform?
Sure, I think like, you know, like the focus for us this year was really into like, we're talking about big numbers that have that amount of followers and those big communities, but really I think the new metric is really engagement.
Yeah.
You can have like millions of people following, but if only like 20 are talking about you, it doesn't really matter to get this audience. So really the focus for us was like this year to get into how can I get fans active and what is the value of that.
Yeah.
And like one of the amazing thing we like something we're really proud of at WebDoc is this engagement numbers we have.
Yeah.
Like it's really like we always have like in between 5 to even like 15 even more person engagement, and that's really something that we have been carefully working on with like so many labels.
Yeah.
From you know like indie labels to like big majors, etc. And really we have something unique there. So for next year, like one of the things we want to make sure is that anyone can you know engage on WebDoc and get like amazing possibilities to engage the audiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for the update and have a great Christmas.
Thank you, and you too.
Cool, awesome. All right, I'm here with Nico Perez, who is also joining us for this interesting sort of running around startups idea of asking how was 2012 and what's going to happen in 2013 for you guys. So hi, Nico, and thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Hello, thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, you know, I just wanted to start by asking you about Mixcloud in 2012. What are your sort of personal milestones for the company and how it's progressed in the past year, and you know what are the highlights for you really?
So 2012 for us was a really good year. It was our third year sort of the service offering being live, and we actually, one of the highlights, memorable highlights, was celebrating our third birthday in Amsterdam at the Amsterdam Dance Event with Carl Cox, and there we did a little live streaming experiment where we actually live streamed the night through the website. And that was really fun for us. And, you know, there might be some ideas and things we're thinking about in that area, but it was really just kind of an experiment to see how it goes.
Sure.
Other sort of highlights for this year, we've been growing the team. We've been hiring quite a lot of people. We're about 10 people now full time. And really a lot of that comes down to sort of really understanding and making our business model work.
Yeah.
So this last sort of 6 to 12 months, has been, you know, a real confirmation for us that our business model, which sort of involves working with brands and working with advertisers and working with sponsors, it does work, it can work, and it can scale.
Yeah.
So for us, this year has been about really, you know, figuring out how we work with people like Red Bull, Reebok, Topman, and really like taking that to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of, you know, the international audience and potential expansion for the company, what has been the, you know, the past year like? You know, the US of course is a huge market for streaming radio live services like yours, and there are a lot of questions on royalties of course and payments that are being addressed right now, so what's your outlook in that sense?
So the US is obviously, like you said, a huge market. It's actually organically grown to be about the same size as our UK audience.
Great.
So that's really impressive because we don't have anybody on the ground there. So it's kind of just happened naturally. Next year, 2013, we're thinking about putting some people on the ground there, trying to do some more outreach work. And it's a very interesting space. You know, obviously, Spotify just launched there a few months ago. Pandora is obviously the sort of big gorilla in that area.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can offer something a little bit different. And we're now signed up with SoundExchange, ASCAP, EMI, and CESAC. So we've got the licenses in place out there. And really 2013 for us is going to be about, you know, trying to understand the American audience and how it's different to, say, for example, the European audience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have different tastemakers. They have different ways of, you know, consuming music or audio, and so we need to sort of like really sort of think, put our thinking hats on, and think about, you know, what's different in America.
Yeah, and consumption wise, looking at this year and next year, of course you have a very popular iPhone app, and you have an Android app as well now.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we launched, that was another milestone from this year. We launched the Android app.
Yeah, and so how do you see the usage going from this year into next year between web use and mobile use?
So web use accounts for about 90% of our listening right now.
Yeah.
But we've seen mobile has been growing steadily. And I think that next year we're working on a new iPhone and Android apps that are sort of going to take it up two or three notches. And I think that next year, hopefully, we're going to see probably in the region of sort of 10 to 25% of our listening coming from mobile. If you look at some of the other services, you know, some of them like Pandora have a bit more on mobile, and some of them have less, but I think that sort of range, especially with the new apps, is probably what we're going to see.
Yeah, sure. And finally, you know, Mixcloud is still, you know, seen by a lot of people as a music destination, but there's a lot of spoken word content on the platform. How do you see that those two you know, sides of the platform continuing in parallel, of course, but as a balance act?
Yeah, so our vision from the beginning was always to be a sort of on-demand radio platform.
Yeah.
And as you know, radio can be anything from music shows to DJ mixes to talk shows to, you know, hour-long lectures. And so our sort of challenge is how do we offer that breadth of content and allow everybody to discover what's on the platform, but also be powerful enough for people to go into those niches and find what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And so we've got a couple sort of ideas around the product, around looking at things like, for example, what podcasts are you already subscribed to?
Yeah.
And then make suggestions based on that.
Yeah.
So there's several things that we're working on in that space as well.
That's great.
But stay tuned, as they say.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time, and have a fantastic holiday season, as they call it. I don't know. I'm sure we'll speak next year.
Cool. Thanks a lot for talking to me. Take care.
So I'm here with Francesco Baschieri from the company Spreaker. So if you don't remember Spreaker, we had them on the show a while ago. They're an application or an ecosystem that allows anybody to become a DJ and to put up a radio station online really easily via both iPhone and iPad apps now. So hi, Francesco, and how's it going today?
Hi, Andrea. Thank you very much. We're doing great, and we're looking forward to ending the year 2012 even better.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about Spreaker in 2012. You know, there were a lot of things happened with the company. What would you define as the milestones of the company for this year for you?
So first of all, we launched our base in San Francisco. So we moved all our business operations in California.
Yeah.
And that was right at the beginning of the year. Then we launched a couple of mobile applications, a revised version of our iPhone application back in July, yeah, and the new iPad application a couple of days ago.
Great.
During 2012, we reached also 1 million registered users, which is an impressive number. And we have even a larger number of non-registered users who just listen to our content.
Yeah, of course. And so in terms of how you see that the platform shaping up, do you see more people? Of course, you know, the main focus at this point is music plus speech. But do you see a lot of people using it as just a speech podcast type application? Or is there an even split between the two users?
Actually, we're surprised. Since we pushed our marketing efforts in the U.S., we're now totally focused on talk-based content. So
okay. It's
basically a podcasting platform. And in 2013, we actually want to start pushing a bit more the music side for independent musicians in the U.S. as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the iPad app has just launched, and it's great. It's really it's easy to use and works great. So do you think that's going to make a big impact on the user base for the service as well?
We definitely think so. We launched it early. I mean, we didn't want it to be too complicated. It's just a tool for content creators. We just put it out there. We want it to be really, really simple to use, lowering the bar, and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
It's been out for 2 days, and it's been going great.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's your what can you reveal about 2013 for the company, both in terms of, you know, the platform itself, or, you know, as a strategy of going forward?
So we have a couple of things coming. One is very interesting. I cannot say much about it,
of course.
We are about to sign or complete a deal with a major partner, and this will definitely take Spreaker to another level. So
Great. We'll
probably be announcing this in the first quarter 2013. And as a consequence, we're also moving our development offices to Berlin, because it looks like it's a place you have to be if you're a consumer web startup in Europe right now.
Yeah.
So we'll be both based both in the US and Berlin.
That's great. So you're going to join some great companies over in Berlin that are working in the music and audio space, which is pretty interesting. Cool. Well, that's fantastic. It was great to have you on the show, and great to hear the update from Spreaker. And I wish you a fantastic Christmas.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Okay, so it's great to have on the show today Ad Averdiek from the company Qsongs. So hi, Ad, and thanks for joining me today. How's it going?
Hi, Andrea. I'm here in the Apple store, actually, in Regent Street, doing
nice,
some last-minute Christmas shopping. So
that's great.
I wanted to catch you.
It's great. So, you know, like I spoke to a few other companies for this episode, and talking about, first of all, Qsongs' achievements for 2012. Of course, the company only started in 2012, so you've actually gone a long way, really, from the beginning of this experience. Tell me a little bit about how the ride was and the things that you managed to accomplish in this year.
Well, I think our biggest achievement was actually getting the support from the music industry and the music publishers in particular.
Absolutely.
In terms of getting them to support the business model, So we now have agreements with all the five major publishers, over 150 rights holders. And on the back of that, we've really built up a good catalogue of not only some big artists, big names, but also some real good up-and-coming names that could be big in the future.
Yeah.
And also some real hidden gems that we're quite excited about that we found in the archives of some of the labels and publishers. So I think that's probably our biggest achievement. Also, we've made some good progress with clients.
Yeah, so that's important, of course.
I think the thing I like about the clients that we're working with is that they've all come back for more.
Yeah,
so every single client who we've done work for, from the IOC to Reebok to Marriott to Adidas to Bowers & Wilkins, they've all come back for more usages. And that's
great.
A big sign.
That's great.
And we've just done our first YouTube channel deal, which we're quite excited about as well.
Oh, cool.
More about in 2013. So
awesome.
I think that, this year has been obviously a huge year in terms of us climbing up the mountain and putting all the building blocks in place for us to really launch this. And next year, as far as I'm concerned, is about, you know, really getting going properly and starting to see some real traction from clients, which we've begun to see at the end of this year.
Of course. And from a technical point, you've also done a recent redesign of the website as well. How are you finding people's reaction to your proposition, which is quite interesting and quite unique in terms of how the site is set up for the discovery of the music and the way the music people can associate the music with their videos?
Well, I mean, I'm glad to hear you say you like what we've done so far with the website. We try and be innovative. We try and push the frontier in design. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is make it as easy as possible for clients to find the right track.
Sure.
And in fact, we relaunched the site today, this morning.
Yep.
So if users go on, they'll see some quite nice new and innovative features. I mean, essentially, I think the where we would like to get to is that people can think of a track that they want to use as a kind of reference track and then search our catalog against that reference track. And maybe we have it. And if we don't have it, we want to be able to provide five or six really good
alternatives.
Yeah,
that's great.
Alternative SIF tracks. And I think
awesome. That's
a very compelling proposition, very useful proposition. And, we are working more and more toward getting there. And we've got some new features coming out actually in the spring, which will progress that in a big way.
Of course. And finally, just to talk about clients, you mentioned a lot of big brands and big companies. Do you think there's going to be an evolution in 2013 as well to expand on individuals maybe using the platform for their own smaller digital projects?
Well, that was certainly our vision when we launched this, because what we wanted to do was kind of democratize the whole licensing world. A lot of people are bewildered by, all of the things, all the legal issues involved in music licensing, and we just wanted to simplify that so people come online and buy, whether they were however small their business was, or even if they're just personal users or users who make videos for, say, a wedding video or whatever. We've actually implemented some functionality in this product release that enables us to massively expand the usages that we can license for. So
that's great.
Again, watch this space. But in January, we will be starting to offer usages for much, much more long tail users, shall we say, as well as the big brands.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for the update. Have a fantastic Christmas, and I'm sure we'll speak again in 2013.
Hey, well, thanks a lot, and all the best with you, Andre.